They were unaffiliated, just doing whatever they wanted.
Correct. Yeah. Fuck Wild.
Hell yeah.
Fucking scabs.
Fucking.
I am present.
Scab Thank gang members?
They're non-union gang members.
Non-union gang members. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast, TH Fantasy, Mock Drafts on Tap, Crossover, Spectacular, the 50 Do's and 1,000 Don'ts of Playing Auction Fantasy Football. My name is Jeff Krisker. I'm here with Tony Martin of TH Fantasy, Evan Hoovler of Football Absurdity and Mock Drafts on Tap, and Waleed of the same. So, boys, it's been so long since we've spoken. We definitely didn't record this back-to-back.
Nope.
All right. I know how you're doing. All right. So today's episode, what we're going to talk about is auction values and price setting and building on the closed economy of a fantasy football auction draft and getting into some pre-draft prep overarching ideas. So this one's kind of Evan's wheelhouse. This is the Evan episode. So Evan, where would you like to start?
I would like to start with the first item in your list of notes that I studied thoroughly.
Okay.
Because you did a good job, sir.
So my first question was, do player prices correspond directly to draft round? I know.
Great question.
Hold on. I'm not done with the question.
Dang, my bad.
We see players generally go like at the top of the draft there's a 4 or 5 player tier at the top and then it drops from there. But does it generally correspond to draft round or do we see a little bit of difference there?
Absolutely does not correspond to draft round. Take the number one overall pick just for a small case study. Number one overall pick, they go number one in snake drafts. They go for what they're projected for. In auction, like if they're supposed to score this many more points, they're listed at, say, $67. Sorry. That player will never go for $67 in auction. They will always go for more because it turns out everybody wants that number one player. So the top players go for more than their draft capital. And then things start to thin out as people start to have less and less money around the end of round 2, 3, maybe 4. And then they go for less. And Wally pointed this out, with quarterbacks, it's different. There's two types of people. You want to have a great quarterback, or you'll just take a guy. Usually, if you're just a take-a-guy, you get that quarterback in rounds 5, 6, 7. That corresponds to maybe like a $5, $3 thing in terms of demand. But those quarterbacks go for $1. Because people are like, I don't know, I'll get the next guy. So it does not correlate at all. And that's the beauty of auction over snake draft.
Yeah, so once you get to the quote-unquote undesirables, you're not going to have like a smooth descending of price. Like there is a distinct just like drop.
And yes, exactly. And I put those graphs on my articles. Go to footballobservity.com. Look for the auction articles. I've been graphing that this year. To prove it, where I'm like, yep, this is exactly what we've been saying all these years. Look at this graph. It is not linear.
Yeah, you're doing the Nickelback. Look at this graph. All right.
I don't get the reference. I'm old.
It's an old reference.
It is.
I'm okay.
There's an old Nickelback song that says one of the lines is look at this photograph, and somebody, I think probably on Vine, change it to say, look at this graph. And it was a picture of the lead singer Nickelback holding up a picture of a graph.
Oh, yeah, I know that meme.
Yeah. So you said, look at this graph. All right. This has been explaining memes to old people with Evan. All right. Waleed, how do you feel about, is there anything you want to expand upon on the player prices corresponding to draft round? Anything you want to add to that?
So what I would say is actually the price points are more tier-based by position. So, like, if you look at, like, the number one, number two pick in the draft in an auction, they're going to go for $70. Then, like, it kind of goes down from the 3 to 6 or 7 range. Those guys are going in the 60s in that range. Sometimes that, like, and that tier changes year to year. Sometimes it's, like, 2 or 3 guys. Sometimes it's 5 or 6 guys that are going to go for, like, 60. And then you get this like 50 round range. Then you get this 40 round range. Like it kind of, and it really, it kind of depends on the quality of the player and what the projections are and what their output's going
to be. Okay. So there's no hard and fast. It sounds like the long and short.
And it changes. Yeah. It changes year to year.
The player is worth what it takes to get him is basically
exactly
what
exactly right.
And I think that that plays well into the project that Evan does every summer with the, like, I kind of want to call it AAV, like actual average auction value.
That's fair.
So Evan's triple AV, where it's what people are actually bidding, because Evan trawls dozens and dozens of drafts every summer to get a room full of people. I think your max is what, like 3 bots that you'll allow, 2 to 3?
3 with 12 people, 2 with 10, but we tend to do better than that.
Okay, yeah, because Evan puts in the yeoman's work to do this. And what you find is what people are actually bidding, not what the robots are bidding based off of their calculations, which is based off of the AAV that the site itself puts into the robot, so it's self-reinforcing. And what I like to do, I like to look at Evan's triple AV as like a budgeting price point thing, knowing that it's not going to go that way, but I can say, oh hey, here's the wide receiver drop, which is
a quick example of that.
Yeah,
a quick example of that is we also I give a bunch of stats for the AAAV. One is the last 5 drafts, Malik Nabers clearly going up. The ranking sites have not updated him. But if you look at the last 5 drafts of actual people, he's going way beyond what the listed AAV is. Because people are like, okay, we saw the news. We got it. Malik Nabers is way higher. And then you can find out what you're actually going to have to pay for him. Sorry, pay to roster him.
That's right. The cops are outside, Evan. You have to be careful with your wording. So that kind of goes into my next question, which is how you build prices, which I would say, let me ask you this. I'm going to put this question in a different way, Evan. You're kind of the auction guru, the guy, you do the most auctions.
When you start,
I know that was a point of contention. when you start every year, do you find that you pay for players and you're like, ooh, I didn't really like that, I have to recalibrate? Or is it like, players cost what they cost, baby? It's all about who ends up on my roster at the end of the day.
I mean, it's always about who ends up at the end of your roster at the end of the day. Yeah. And how you feel about that. You know, once the auction's done, you're like, these prices don't matter. No one at the end of the year is like, well, this guy scored this many points, but you paid less for him, so you get a bonus. So, yeah, it's just about getting in.
Yeah, nobody
Does
remembers
that make sense? How you Does that answer your question?
Yeah, nobody remembers how you got there. So my question was going to be, how do you build prices? And it sounds like reps. Reps is the only way to build prices.
Yep, or like you said, look at my reps. I do these reps so you don't have to. I do these all human auction values. I sit here at my dumb job. Sorry, my job's cool. I teach kids. But like, there's shortcuts and we're offering them. That's part of the reason why we're doing this podcast series. So we can be like, look, we do the work, man. You can
reap the benefits.
Yeah. We do this for you for free.
All right. Tony, do you have any questions about the prices, how they correspond to draft round or not, how the Evan's actual average auction values work? Any questions for him on the value part of it?
I'm still thinking about like pitching this to my home league, right? And I think there's a way to say that, like, hey guys, these numbers are designed to guide you, right? If you want the guy a little bit more than Yahoo says it's worth, then go for it. It's not as scary as you think it is.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Like it makes sense because like we're talking about like game theory where you're like, look, these numbers aren't hard and fast, but you pitch it to regular snake players by saying like, well, neither are ADPs. If you're at pick 54, are you going to take the guy you like more that might be his ADP might be 60 versus the guy you like less whose ADP is 52?
Exactly. And that's why we're doing this series. This is why we had this idea to do this series, because it's like some guys you want to pay a little bit more for because you like them. And some guys down the line, you get to pay a little bit less for. And then you get all the guys you like. That's the benefit of auction. And on the flip side,
you can be a full hater. I don't want to spend a dollar on this guy. Like, I don't have to like be like, oh, sometimes a guy just falls and I don't like him in a snake draft, but I know he's too valuable at that spot, so I'll take him. I don't have to do that. I don't have to make that choice. Like, I just be like, no, someone else will spend money on you. And frankly,
yeah, I think
like,
that's
I don't
a good point.
That.
Yeah, that's a good point where you don't have to like, you'll reach pockets in snake drafts where you're just like, I don't want any of these players. And then everything sucks. You're like,
during auction, never happened.
Yeah, exactly. You only get the players you want unless you royally botch it, which we'll get to price enforcing in another episode. But
I'll defer to Wally because he's got opinions
on price enforcing.
I have the only right opinion.
He that does, is, though.
Happens if, a lot for you.
Well, Lead, I was going to say, if they made a toy of you and you pulled the string, that's what it would say, is yeah. I have the only right opinion.
I mean, all right. That's the only thing that needs to be said.
All right. So my next question for you guys is, what determines a good price or a bad price for a player? If you're looking at a player and you decide you're going to tap out, I guess, what determines a good price versus a bad price? And we'll start with you, the guy who only has good opinions.
I would actually like to go first for this because I want to hear Wally's rebuttal. Okay. I want to hear Wally because I think he's got a good rebuttal. I did a deep dive into the price of players last year versus their finish in fantasy. So I looked at the beginning of the year auction price and the end of the year fantasy finish, and I found that players 1 through 15, on average, compared to players who finished, the players who were priced at the top 15 versus the players who were priced at 16 through 30, I found that players who were priced at 1 through 15 were on average 90% more than the players through 16 through 30. And I found that the players who were 1 through 15 only got 16 more fantasy points than the players who were priced 16 through 30 at the beginning of the year. So I was like, you know what? Why am I taking the top 15 players if they're going for 90% more and they're only getting 16% more fantasy points? But Waleed gave me a rebuttal the other day that I found very interesting.
And Waleed, what is that rebuttal?
Tell us.
I'm going to be honest. I smoke a lot of weed, so I don't 100% remember. I do agree with Evan. It was excellence. I will say what I do think it is it doesn't matter as long as you're right about the guy you pick.
Yep.
Like,
yep. That was it.
As simple
that was
as
it.
That. Like, guess what? Like, Puka Nacua, I think he cost like top $10 last year. I don't.
He cost top 15, but he got you. Yeah, that was it. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't regret a single dollar I spent on getting Puka Nacua. Like, it's all about being right in your evaluations. And guess what? There are guys in the top, like, and this is how you should be nominating too. Because like Jonathan Taylor, I think he's going to be priced at his ceiling. And I try to look at players that I think are priced at their floor. Unless you're like a top three player, because like Gibbs or Bijan, like if you're under $70, I'm just going to get you because I think you're a top two player and I can make up the difference later. Like, it all depends. You got to pick your spots, but get the player right and it all works itself out.
I think what it comes down to is my approach to giving advice is if you want a mindless If you want a mindless way to dominate your draft, take my guide. If you actually think and know ball, listen to Waleed. Right? Two sides of the same coin. Either one's a win. Like,
but even with all that, I do have a price point. Like, you have to have a baseline for what you're looking for within a draft. But, like, you also have to have your own ranking system. So I think I mentioned it in the last episode that I tend to break it down. Like, I have in a $200 budget, I've done this math. I have $187 that I can spend on seven slots. My quarterback, my tight end, two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. In a 10-man auction league, which I do, like I said before, I do the money leagues because I turn a profit every year. Why wouldn't I? Because they don't know how to do auction. Guys, listen to this advice.
I love when Waleed comes over on Sundays to watch the games because he always shows up 30 minutes into the early slate. And the first thing he says is, fuck, I forgot to set my Yahoo lineups. Every time, hey, dude, how's it going? Fuck, I forgot to set my Yahoo lineups.
Dude, it happens way too often. Weekly. Well, it's not the money ones I don't ever forget. It's the other. Well, I guess that's not true. It's like my redraft is what I always forget. Redraft is the thing I'm like least in. I've set like 150 DFS lineups, and so I forget to set like the work league lineup, and then they make fun of me because I have a website and I've never won my work league.
But I just want to reiterate this. I'm going to repeat myself here, but like, if you want to succeed at auction leagues without thinking, listen to me. If you actually think and know ball, listen to Wally. That's why we have run a show for 8 seasons together. Like, we got something for everybody.
I just realized what I want to say will go better for the next question. So,
all right, you've got with Waleed, you've got kind of like the high level, like you can win without having to set your lineups every week, apparently, sort of stuff. And Ben's the more like intro to stuff. So, we kind of touched on this earlier. Is AAV more of a hard, fast rule or a guideline? And we've talked around this point, but I think we need to kind of put it to paper or radio waves, as it were. It's a guideline.
I'd like to start off real quickly with that too, because it is a guideline. And the thing that you have to remember is that every auction draft is its own unique thing. No two auction drafts are the same. There will be repeatable patterns, but everyone's different, and you have to adapt to it accordingly. So, like, if you have these, like, if you're using your Yahoo prices as a guideline, sometimes guys don't go over those prices. Sometimes they're going $10 over. And each one, you have to adjust. If everyone's going high on those top players early, that means that more money is coming out of that pool. And the more money that's coming out of the pool, that means that, like, it's what I said. The less money there is in the pot relative to how much money you have left, the more valuable your dollars become. Like, if you have like $100 for $1,000 left, you're kind of at average. If you have $300 and there's only $1,000 left among everyone else, like, your $3 is worth $1 in an average setting. And you have to navigate that, and you don't ever want your dollars to lose value.
And while he touched on something that I say a lot, which is that every auction is different because you're looking at the trees. Each player could be, you have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's a closed system economy, meaning that there's no more money coming in. There's a fixed amount. And so if you look at the forest, there's only three ways that forest can grow. Number one, there are only three ways that auction can go. Number one, people are spending a lot of money early, in which case there will be a huge drop. Or number two, people are spending a little money early. They're bidding like $1 to $5 over those initial 15 people. There will be a drop, not so much, but there will be a drop because that money can't come from nowhere. It's got to go somewhere, and it went. Number three, people are not bidding early. And so if you know what your auction economy is doing, you can know, oh, this is auction one. People are paying way too much. I'm going to wait and get a bunch of guys once the economy drops early, or people are bidding a little bit early, maybe I'll get a guy, and then I'll save it for the rest for when that economy, you know, drops, or whoa, people aren't paying what they should, I'm going to get my guys early, because oh dang, when everybody has way too much money later, they're going to bid it up. So every auction is different, but every market that's closed system, there's only three patterns. Like, you spend too much, you spend way too much, or you don't spend. That, yeah.
I have a question.
Can I just make a statement for your question? Sorry. I just want to follow up on what Evan's saying. To put it simply, the more money is spent early, the less money is being spent late.
Yup.
The less money that's being spent early, the more money is being spent
late. Yup.
Yep. All right, Tony, what was your question?
All right. Yeah. Sorry, Tony.
Well, Evan was talking about there's three different ways that this can go. My question would be to the experts here, how quickly in a draft do you think you can identify which version it is?
My thing is usually within the first five players, definitely within the first 15.
Okay. Yeah, so you know,
I generally right around the top 10 is when I start. Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause the usually, unless you're in a draft with one of us and we do a little stinker thing and nominate Devon Achane.
We are sharks.
Yeah. Usually you're going to start off your draft with Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan or Ja'Marr Chase. And that'll pretty much set the market as what the cap, like near what the cap is going to be, what's going to be paid for the top players. Right. Cause if it's kind of like running back contracts that are being negotiated at the same time, like bringing up Bijan and Gibbs, it's like you're going to set the market and then it's either going to go a couple dollars above or a couple dollars below for the next guy usually. Sure. And you can compare that to like Evan's AAAV chart and you can say, okay, well, on average, these guys are supposed to be going for $65-$66 or whatever the number is. They went for 80 each. Okay. So the market is set all the way up here. So you're going to know that it's going to be a high spend environment, at least to kick off the draft. Because if those guys are going for like 80, you're looking at probably 70 to 75 for the top wide receivers. And that's going to be a crap ton of money out of the pool right off the rip. Sure. And then you'll know. But if it goes for like 58, for example, and it's supposed to be like 66, that sets the top of the market. So you're looking at what's more of a lower cap market. Like everybody's going to go at the top end a little bit lower than they should have.
So would you
let me do this with an analogy here, because we're trying to make this for people who don't do auction. Y'all play poker, right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I know Wally plays poker.
I've been known to dabble.
Well, he's like poker, right? Hold on. I have a poker story about poker. One second.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's the first rule? What is the first rule of poker?
Don't talk about poker.
That's Fight Club. What's the first rule of poker, Wally? Winning at poker.
All in or fold.
I mean, no, it's you play the...
Yep.
You play the man, not the card.
Yep. You play the player, not the cards. So if the players are bidding too much, they're going to keep bidding too much. If they're playing a little high, they're going to keep doing it. You play the player, not the game. And so you can reliably get this bead on people, like Willie said, within the first 10, knowing what they're doing, and react accordingly. That's what you do.
Yeah. Tony, what was your question?
So we've talked about AAV, right? And the value that it has or doesn't have. Would you say that one of the values of AAV is working into that determination of what type of room you're in?
Yep.
Yes. It 100% is.
Okay. Because I think we've kind of like dismissed it a little bit so far. But I think that's a good way to find value in it, right? Is it's helping you understand the economy you're in.
Exactly. We're not playing the AAV, the cards. We're playing the players.
Okay.
And here's the thing about AAV. Even though you don't necessarily need to use it as a guideline, the room as a whole is going to use it as a guideline.
Sure.
If that makes any sense. That's the baseline for a lot of players and decision-making they're making. And you're making your decisions based on decisions they are making.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Even in the experts draft, I guarantee half of us have Evan's values pulled up at least. Evan,
I don't do values. I don't do values anymore.
Oh, you don't? Oh man, how
because people just pull them up. People just pull them up and they bid to that, and then they're like, "Well, I'm out of money after three players." I'm like, "That's not."
Why'd you do that?
What? What?
That's not how you're supposed to use the sheet.
It gets a lot of clicks, so if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But like, dang, that's not how you do it.
let's talk about the real reason why you don't do it anymore. It's because everybody in your home league just pulls up your values to bid against you.
And then they get so mad when I don't bid it. And they're like, oh, they put these fake values. I'm like, why would I do that? This got 100,000 hits. Like, it made us like some money. Like,
yeah. All right. So I think we've done the AAV part of it. I kind of have the discussion question of the episode for this one.
Could I step in real quick?
No.
I want to wallpaper over something. I have a strategy you can use called the Greasy Spoon strategy. It's my fantasy football strategy article of the year. And it flipped all of my articles in the past on its head because the market is different. It's called the Greasy Spoon strategy. It's on footballobservative.com. Check it out. It's 5 steps and I've done it 15 times and 14 times it resulted in a great team. And one time it didn't. During that 10% where everyone went low, so I got like 3 guys early, and I was like, I don't have any money. So check that out if you want, just plug and play. Thank you.
So 93.3% of the time it works every time is what I'm hearing.
I have not checked out the math on that, but I will.
I just did it on my phone. You can trust me. I asked Grok. So it's what... Yeah, it's definitely correct. Also, it said something about white genocide in South Africa.
We're done. We are done.
I said, what's 14 divided by 15, Grok?
And it's friendship like,
great
ended.
Question. 14 out of every 15 white Africans in friendship South Africans.
Closed. I'm putting a window down right here. Like right here. This
All
is
right.
The,
so discussion question of the episode is what is the best? I'm sorry. First one is how do you value players? How do you prepare for the draft? Is valuation or evaluation more important? Say, for example, you're Tony, certified ball knower, creator of the fantasy football tome. Can you just hop into a draft by knowing the value or the evaluation of the players, or is the valuation extremely important as well?
Tell me.
So, this is, to me, I value players in tiers. It's basically, like, the thing about auction is you have to have opinions. Otherwise, what's the point? And, like, you tier them up, and it's kind of, to me, it's, man, who would I want the most? Oh, I'd love these two guys. Okay, what if I don't get them? These guys, I'd be happy with this set of guys. What if they become too expensive? Well, you know, we could do this. Like, having a plan and then just kind of, like I say, I want two guys that I'm really excited about. Like, that I think are, like, you know, if we were using best ball ADP to rank the players, like, because I think that's the best tool for judging what the market is. Like, if you looked at the top 12 guys in there, I want at least one of those guys. So I always have, like, so, like I have, like, $110 roughly set aside. I'll go over that. I'll go under that. And I'm going to get a guy I want for a price I think is good. And then I kind of like work my way down that list. And I'm probably spending a little bit less money each time. And maybe the market has some guys misvalued. Like, I love a lot of guys in the fifth round. Those are guys that are going to go for like $10 or less in an auction. So maybe I wait and load up on some of them. And then I go really big on some of the top players. Like, it all depends on how you feel the room is.
I get on Waleed constantly because he'll be like, I drafted this guy. It's tremendous value. And I'm like, value only exists if you also hit with the other picks that you made.
Yeah.
Right. But as we're talking and as I'm learning more about this format, I understand value applying an auction in a more direct way.
Yeah, that's why I think in those terms, 100%.
Because if I can get, you know, 85% of Emeka Ogbuka's production from Chris Godwin, the value is I just saved $40.
And where are you putting that $40?
Right.
You saved $10.
Yeah.
So with that $10, like, let's say I can spend up and get a couple other guys, like, that to me seems like a proper application of value. Whereas if we're talking snake, I don't think value truly exists because, like you guys said, you're pretty much limited to whatever pocket is on the board.
Like, and I can link both Tony's good advice and Waleed's good advice together here. Waleed's good advice was get good guys. And Tony's advice was like, why would I spend more if I could get another player that will supplement this guy in my starting roster? That's why I don't draft the top 15 if they go above projection, because I can draft 2 second-round guys probably for the price of a first-round guy. And Waleed said I could hit on one of those guys. Well, dang, Waleed said the other day, he said, you know, I think this is the flattest the first and second rounds have been, where second-rounders are kind of equal to first-rounders. So that's why I made the greasy spoon theory, because I'm like, dang, dude, like, I could use the money I save, like Tony said, to get another guy, and then I can have all – I can fill out my roster and have even more money left. So, yeah, that's why I'm saying get those second, third, fourth, fifth round guys, and then with your other picks, get another second, another third, another fourth, another fifth round guy. Like, and then you have your starters, and then you have money left over. Like, it's beautiful.
And to put it into terms that Tony was talking about, that $10 you saved on Chris Godwin, well, let's say instead of getting Christian McCaffrey, you put that extra $10 over there, you can end up with like a Gibbs or a Bichon. Oh. Yeah, Jalen Naylor.
but so like on the last episode.
Hold on real quick. That was what did you say? Instead of the spending, sorry, Tony, instead of spending the $10, you could get another.
You could upgrade your guy elsewhere.
You can upgrade a DMC.
Sorry, Tony. I talked over. Thank you.
No, you're fine. Over in the last episode of TH Fantasy, I asked the dudes to rank what I believe to be like the trickiest pocket of wide receivers right now, and it's Ogbuka, Flowers, Ladd, and T. Higgins. I think that's that's one of the like pressure points that we were talking about earlier, right? And if you can avoid spending, you know, $70 on JSN, I don't know what his number is, but if you can avoid that, you can get 2, maybe 3 of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can get 3 of those guys. That's what I said to you in the Discord. I'm like, bro, I'm just going to get them all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Evan, like, Evan, by the way, he executes this so well where he gets so many top end guys, where if you ask him a question about a player outside, like a running back outside of the top, like 40, he doesn't even know who they are. Cause his goal is to like, not have to have those guys on his roster.
What the heck? Why would I, why?
Yeah. Yeah. So sure. if you do it right, you can maximize the players available to you. Cause I still remember asking Evan a question a few years ago. He's like, I don't know who that person is. And I was like,
the Sean Tucker disrespect right here.
Sean Tucker, 100% best ball.
Yeah, if you out the 7th round, I ain't getting you. Like I'm doing the sign language on the thing for all. Right?
Yeah. So Tony, to your point, what you're saying is, yeah, you can find those pockets where, you know, you also a few episodes ago you had the running back pocket that you were talking about. It was a little more high end. It was like the Devon Achane, Saquon Barkley, Ashton Jeddah tier. Rather than getting, you know, like a Jahmyr Gibbs and like a
Bijan Robinson.
I'm saying like pairing like a Jahmyr Gibbs with a lower end guy, like a Jahmyr Gibbs and like Jalen Warren and Tony Pollard, you can get 2 or 3 of those guys in that running back pocket, so you can have more bites at that apple, right?
Yeah.
Because that's all fantasy football is. It's about maximizing the bites at the apple. So when you find those pockets of players, you can take a couple of them, because if you miss, right, you have another guy. It's not an Emeka Ogbuka or Ladd McConkey decision. You can say, give me both.
And Tony, which guys you said? McConkey, Ibuka, and Zay Flowers?
And yeah. T. Higgins.
You can, okay, yeah, you can get T. Higgins, Zay Flowers, and Ibuka for like maximum $70, $80.
Which is a...
And you can easily budget in Gibbs or Bijan Robinson, which I wouldn't do, but Waleed would, which I don't disrespect. Like, yeah, like it's really good. Like,
sure.
Yeah. So I think to merge kind of like what people know about Snake to the auction thing, Tony, to what you're saying is if you find pockets of players you like, that's your targets, right? Right. And everybody's going to have different targets, different tiers. So one of the things people worry about is saying like, be careful of the end of a tier. Well, everybody's tiers are different, right? Like for me, for example, I have Zay Flowers higher than that tier. So he wouldn't even be in that tier for me. So you'd be like, oh man, I'd be like, oh man, my tier is running out. But for everybody else, it has Zay Flowers in it. So there's one more player in that tier. But you just get your guys in your value pockets that you like. And Evan's going to disagree with me.
Yeah. All it takes is one other owner, manager, sorry, to have that guy last in tier and need a wide receiver. And it doesn't work.
Well, guess what? I will kill that person and then I'll win the player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did say that he has him a tier above. So that means that he doesn't have to necessarily worry about that guy.
Okay. That works.
Because he's getting that guy.
That does work.
For me, I think Zay Flowers is a $45 value player, just throwing numbers out there. Everybody else thinks of him as like a $30 value player. I'm immediately putting $15 perceptually into my own pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I got Buka like everywhere last year because like I had him so much higher and his price dropped so much with the Matt Stafford back stuff last year that I just got him because I was willing to pay.
You're so lucky.
But this is a tangent, and not what any of you are saying, but we should say, have we said this yet? If you wait until a player is last in the tier in Snake Draft, you scored. If you wait until the player is in the last tier in Auction, you're getting messed up, sir. That guy will go for so much more.
Yeah, and I'm realizing we are drifting directly into the next episode, which is nominating and bidding on players. So let's turn it back around. All right.
Yeah.
So the last question is going to be, what's the best way to build a team? There's stars and scrubs, balanced, blended approach, none of the above, and we'll end up on there. So what's the best way you found to build a team?
I think that's a hard question to answer because, like, it depends on two things. It depends on your valuation of the players and Rue's valuation of the players. If they have, like, if you have the stars rated differently than they have them and you have them like, and you're getting them at a better price, then the stars and scrubs approach might be the way to go. If everyone's paying up for these guys that you don't think is right, maybe you just have to wait for value and do a balance thing. You have to respond to what the room is doing and maximize your value in the spots that appear. And it's all about preparation.
I agree with Waleed about balance and preparation, but I'm confused about this word you used that I'm very confused about. What is a scrub?
It's a guy who thinks he's fly, also known as a buster.
Why would he be on my team? I'm doing auction. Why would this guy who gets drafted outside of the sixth, maybe seventh round be on my, what do you get out? I'm doing auction. I get 2 second-rounders, 2 third-rounders, 2 fourth-rounders, a fifth, a sixth. Why would I want a scrub when I cannot have a scrub? I can have a $1 player on my beat bench, and everybody on my starters is a starter. I do not think stars and scrubs is a viable architect anymore at all. I don't think it ever was, but now even more than ever, I don't think it is, especially with us giving advice, with me and Waleed and Jeff and Tony giving advice. I don't think you need to have a scrub. Wait, bid and bid and bid, and then wait and wait and wait, and then get some good guys.
I would counter that with saying, if you went out there and you had paid up last year for Puka, like Jamar Chase and Christian McCaffrey, I'm pretty sure it didn't matter who your other guys were and you won your league.
Oh, hold on. Help me. Do you need a ladder to come down from that cherry picker?
No, but I'm saying, like, I think I'm saying it can work. You just have to be right. That's all I'm saying.
that brings it back to that evaluation is more important than valuation.
100%. That's the main point.
Or just don't and get my guys. Like, and Evan, which is why Wally and I work so well together, because he's got a good strategy. I've got a good strategy. Like, pick what you want. Like, do you want to use your brain? Choose Wally. Do you want to not choose me? Like,
yeah. So I think a blended or balanced approach is way better. And I think, Tony, I think it's you've mentioned this on TH Fantasy about how everybody's just so much sharper these days. There's not a lot of values to be found. And I think that is built into the Stars and Scrubs strategy. And that's what makes it less viable these days, because the scrubs are true scrubs. Like, you're not like, oh, I'm going to get Alvin Kamara in his rookie year for a dollar. You're getting like, I'm going to get who's worse than Sean Tucker? Everybody.
just get good Dylan guys. Sampson? Listen to Wally's waiver wire.
You're getting Dylan Sampson for a dollar, right? It's not. There's not a lot of value to squeeze out of the $1 guys anymore like there was in the past. So
unless you listen to Wally's waiver wire article.
Yes. Thank you, Evan. All right, Tony, do you have any last questions for the heroes here, the experts on pre-draft prep and evaluating players?
Do you guys make actual tiers? Like, do you write them out? Do you have a spot for your personal tiers? Or is
hell to the yes.
Like, okay. Sure.
I'm going to be honest. My football brain, I'm a vibes guy. I just know. I go with my heart. I know who I think is. I've tiered it in my brain. I have not written it down, but I can tell you exactly where I would put someone.
Yeah, you do, Waleed. Like, I host this show for 8 years. You know, you're like, oh, dude, this guy I need to get because the next guy is going to be last in tier. You say that a lot. And it's true. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, it's going to go, the guy's going to go nuts. So the last in tier always gets overbid.
Hey, Evan, what's that word? Tier?
Sorry, tier. Tier? Tier? I will write on the board 100 times. I apologize. Yes, please.
So I think what I'm hearing, Tony, is, and I think this is one thing that can be helpful, is that the prep that you do for a snake already, you can just directly apply to auction. Like, sure. So many people do tiers now. It was kind of a foreign concept in the past, but it's most people do, or are at least familiar with tier-based drafting now, you know? And if you're doing that level of prep, you can just apply it to the snake draft. Sure. Rather than, there's no special preparation there. There's no, you know, preparation H. You can stick through A through G.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
I was confused about the relevance of preparation H there.
Actually, you know what? I have one last follow-up question. Would it, like, so we do the experts draft on Yahoo.
Because Preparation H saves my butt a lot.
There you go. All right.
Do you think it would be wise for someone like me who's going into this room without a preconceived set of, like, valuations for these players to look at the prices beforehand? To look at what AAV is on the Yahoo site before I actually enter the draft room. And I'm not talking like what's Gibbs going for. Like, what if I really want like Jackson Dart? Do I like go scroll through and look for what he's going for before we enter the draft? So it's not something that I have to work into the equation on the fly.
I think that's absolutely you absolutely should do that because it's information on like, what is happening in a lot of ways. Like, you can see what those average prices are compared to projections. You can see what people like, if you have like data that shows you what people are going to do, gives you a range and you can budget around that to figure out what the perfect team you would like to build is. Like, it helps you have a plan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd also say, like, Wally's right. Preparation and knowing the values ahead of time is key. But that's one thing where sometimes when I'm prepping for a show or auction show, I'm like, nah, I got to plan something for time. Like, I'm not going to look ahead of time. And it's all right. Like, sure. It will always help, but like, it doesn't hurt to just be like, all right, what is it now? All right, there it is. I see it. I can look at it for the whole draft. Jackson Dart's not getting nominated for like 45 nominations. I can
figure it out on the fly.
Okay.
Yeah. And sleepers and busts are going to be the same, whether you're in snake or auction. So you're going to have you're coming into the draft with the same thing. So you're looking at it to answer your question a little bit more directly. It's kind of like you're scrolling through the draft software, and everybody says, find the players you like, find where they are in the draft software, so you know where they're coming up and stuff. So you can get an idea where you're like, okay, if I want to walk out of this draft with Jackson Dart, am I spending around $5? Am I spending around $10? So you can just keep that in the back of your mind so that you don't spend all of your money and they go, oh, well, shit, I don't have any of the players that I want.
Sure.
And you also mentioned a quarterback who's not in the top six.
So he's going to be a dollar.
Yeah, like you can chill. Like it's all right. Like yeah. It'll be fine. You might pay $2 more. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's actually why doing some prep beforehand helps, because like knowing, like, I love Trevor Lawrence. I love Justin Herbert this year. So I'm like, oh, I can just wait and I can get one of those guys for like under $5. Mm-hmm. I can get like Ladd McConkey for $10 to $15. Like, ooh, Herbert, that's a nice one. Parker Washington, Trevor Lawrence. Something I feel pretty good about. Like, I can come up with a plan that's nice and cheap to build my core around. Like, have a plan. Look at different things that can come up and then see how the room goes. Maybe the guys you're like, this could be, I would spend $30 to have this. Oh, I can get it for, I'm getting it for 20. I can do that. I can put this money somewhere else. The more information you have, the more you can adapt to what's going on.
Sure. Yeah. And while he's talking about higher players, The higher the player, the more it is to like scan it in the beginning of the draft. But guess what's at the top of your list at the scan of the draft? The higher players. So
yep.
Yeah, it's not critical. It's helpful, but it's not critical.
Okay. Yeah, I when I tend to look at like values and stuff, I look at it as not like, how can I fit all these players I want into $200, right? I go, these are the players that I want. This is roughly what I'm going to pay for them. Here's what I have to roughly work with the rest of my draft. But if you try to plan out every dollar, you are going to have a panic attack in the middle of the draft. Because if you're planning out every single dollar where you're going to fit it perfectly into this puzzle, you might as well just go on auto draft. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So
yeah.
It's kind of like fuzzy values, right? Where you're kind of just like, well, like when you're getting a piece of furniture, right? You kind of eyeball it. You're like, that'll fit roughly there. That's kind of like what I think of for values, right? I'm like, it's going to be kind of this size, the value that I'm, the amount that I'm going to be spending. And we'll get more into that because I think in two episodes, it's when we start doing player valuation strategy. I think quarterback strategy goes a lot into that. Like you were like, hey, do I have to budget for Jackson Dart? We're all like, no, you're going to spend like $3. Like it doesn't matter. Yeah,
Me an idea for my next draft strategy, the 2027 auction draft strategy, the IKEA method.
The IKEA strategy, yeah. You're just going to redo the toolbox bench, you just call it the Allen wrench bench. All right, so that'll do it for this episode.
That didn't get enough love. That was really good.
Thank you. We'll be back a couple more episodes next week. I think we're going to be talking about nominating and bidding on players, as well as getting into the onesie strategy. So quarterback and tight end, there's a lot of overlap there in terms of how pricing usually goes. So we decided to put those two together, and we'll talk a bit about if you're in a super flex league, how that changes the quarterback strategy. So for Tony, Evan, Waleed, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Later.
Evan, let's get an old school bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.